This won't be necessarily your typical Mother's Day message, but I think that you'll get something out of this today. Amen. Anytime we open the Word of God to the book of James, I believe that, number one, he's going to step on your toes. Amen. I think he's going to give you something to think about. And so that's what we're going to do today. It may not be necessarily a feel-good sermon, but I think it'll give us something to think about. Let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of this part of this scenario? You're in the same room as your child. You know what I'm talking about. You're in your favorite chair. Your child's over there on the couch. They're within a stone's throw or less of you. Matter of fact, you might even be able to reach over and smack them upside the head if you wanted to, because they're that close. You know what I'm talking about. And it's trash day tomorrow. Are y'all following me yet? And it is your child's job to take the trash out. And so you tell them in that nice, sweet, loving parenting voice, hey, go take out the trash. I need you to go do it now, please. Please, you get that? Don't wait until it's dark. I want you to do it now. Y'all know what I'm talking about? No response. So what do? You repeat it. Right? You repeat yourself. Hey, I need you to go take out the trash, please. Do it now. Don't wait. Still. Crickets. Silence. Y'all know what? You see where I'm going with this. So now you are done being nice, right? I mean, niceness is over now. Go take out the trash now. And then they stop what they're doing. And they look at you and they say, well, you didn't have to yell. Am I the only one that experiences this? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? You know, the child on the couch thinks that, why in the world would you yell at me? Why would you yell at me? And I'm thinking, I've told you, this is the third time I've said it. I couldn't get your attention the first two times, so I had to raise my voice, right? Now, let me ask you this. Don't you think that is the way that God feels sometimes? Amen? I want you to look at our text today. We're still in James chapter 1. Skip down to verse 19. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, he's addressing all of us here, take note of this. So if James is telling you to take note, it might be important for us to take note. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. And the last verse here, verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Our text today, just like last week, doesn't hold anything back, right? But I believe that if you will read the book of James, I think you'll see that he doesn't hold anything back throughout his entire book. All five chapters, man, it's something that he will step on your toes. But verse 19, let's look at it again. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You see, the only thing that James tells you to be quick on is listening. How many knows that we should listen a whole lot more? Amen? How many of you like to talk? Anybody like to talk? Some of you say, I don't talk, but I don't listen either. You know, but we like to talk a lot. Or have you ever been in prayer time and all your prayer time is, Lord, I need this, Lord, this, Lord, this. And a lot of times we just got to stop and listen. We talk way too much, don't we? We talk way too much and we just got to stop and listen. So have you ever given someone instructions and then them not do it the way you told them to do it, right? And why is that? It's because they weren't listening, right? And I'm going to butcher this dude's name. Epictetus, a Greek philosopher, he said this, nature has given to man one tongue but two ears, that we may hear from others twice as much as we speak. That's pretty good, isn't it? Look at what Solomon wrote in Proverbs 13:3. He says, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. And then Proverbs 10:19, he said, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Turn to your neighbor and do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor and say very, very gently, be very nice, you talk too much. I said, be very nice. Let me ask you this. Do any of you lose your temper? You ever gotten mad? You know what I'm talking about? James chapter 1, verse 20, he says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. If you have an anger problem, you need to pray through. Amen? If I have an anger problem, I need to pray through. I need to repent. I need to ask God to forgive me and help me to do better. You're destroying your witness for Jesus Christ. If you have an anger problem and you call yourself a Christian, you're destroying your witness for Jesus Christ. Also, when we speak too quickly, many times we say something that we wished we had never said. Anybody else? I have. Once those words leave the tongue, guess what? You can never take them back, can you? Because they're out there. They're already out there. There's nothing you can do about it. It's done. You've already said it. Now look at what Jesus told us in Matthew 15. Verse 18, he says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. What does mom always tell you to do before you sit down to eat? Wash your hands. I'd say probably all of us, if not most of us, I'll say at least most of us, we wash our hands before we eat, don't we? And what is it Jesus said? He said, that doesn't defile you, but the things that we say does defile us. And so we have to be careful what we say. And none of us would ever not think that when we go to eat that we wouldn't wash our hands. So why wouldn't we think before we speak, right? James takes it a step further. In verse 21, he says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. How many of you want the word of God working in your life? I do. I want God's word in my life. I want God moving in my life. I want him working in my life. I want him, anything that I possibly can do, I want him to speak through me. And I think it's so important that we do that. You want God to do miracles for you, right? You want God to bless you financially. You want God to move you to a level that you have never been at before. You want God to promote you, and I believe that we all want that. I believe that all of us would say we want the blessings of God. Then we need to put verse 21 to heart. Get rid of all moral filth. The word of God, either preached or written, cannot effectively work a godly change in your life if you're holding on to any degree of moral corruption and evil in your life. God wants us to separate ourselves from all the ungodly beliefs, ungodly behaviors, ungodly lifestyles that are so common in our society today. Amen? We see the influence that these ungodly things have upon people and their families. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 tells us, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Don't let your past control you. Don't let your past life control you. If you had an anger issue in your past, don't let that creep back in. If you had other issues, maybe addictions or other things that controlled you, don't let those things control you. Be able to go and stand against those things. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life, move in your life so that you can be who God wants you to be. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 says, "But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." Don't go back to the way you used to live. That past life is going to try to suck you back in. But James says to get rid of the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you. I need God's word planted in me. Amen. It's so important that we take scriptures, that we put them around your house, write them on note cards so that you can see those scriptures, so that you can place them in your heart and in your life. Make it a part of your life. You know, last week I told you that humility is understanding that you cannot walk alone. We have to understand we cannot do this on our own. We cannot do this by ourselves. Amen? We need God walking beside us. We need to take it every single step of the way. We need Him there with us every step. Amen? Do you agree with that? Do you believe that? I need Jesus, amen? I need Him walking with me. I need the Holy Spirit walking with me, guiding me each step that I take. God's Word also tells us to be holy. What is holy? It's morally pure, spiritually whole, separated from evil, dedicated to God and reserved for His purposes. Look at what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." Paul is telling us to pay attention to what we are allowing into our life. You know, there's so many avenues of things that we can, I mean, you can sit there and you can see it. You've got electronic devices. I mean, it is so easy to get a hold of anything that, can you take the lid off, please? Thank you. Perfect example of great mothers, right? Even though she's not my mother, she's my wife. Gotta love the allergy season, right? But we don't allow any kind of moral feel. There's so many devices. There's so many things out there that we have in front of us, that we have in our lives that allow these things to enter into our lives. So we have to try to do everything that we can to avoid them. Now, I understand that you're not going to avoid everything. Advertisements themselves are so full of everything that you could possibly imagine. But do what you can to avoid it. We must also take seriously God's commands about righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is reflecting a right relationship with God and doing what is right by God's standard. It is time that we get God's word back into our homes. Amen? We need God's word in our homes. We need God's word in our life. When was the last time that you sat down and read a scripture? You know, one of the easiest things that you can do as far as a verse, they have on every phone that you have, you can get a verse of the day that will pop up and it will tell you. And that's one easy way to have scripture being poured into your life on a daily basis. They made it so easy now, you don't even have to pick up the paper Bible anymore. Because I've got I don't know how many Bibles on my phone that I can pick it up and I can give you any translation at the drop of just pushing a button. And I can read a scripture from any translation that you possibly can imagine because it's right there in your phone. That's why it's made it so easy. I know that sometimes devices have been, they can be used for bad, but I believe they can be used for good. I mean, this is that right there is a great example of how it can be used for good, that we can use that to put the word into our lives so that we can receive more of what God wants to do. Let me also encourage you to do something. Do a sweep of your house, and if you find anything that's not pleasing to God, get rid of it. You say, well, that might be a lot of stuff. Yeah, it might be. I don't know. Ask God to tell you. I believe that God will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you and tell you to look throughout your house and find something that may not be pleasing to God and get rid of it. I believe that we need to move to a different standard in our living. Amen. It seems like the world has brought the standard down. Amen. And we need to raise that standard, go to another level of where God wants to take us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. We need to take a moment and sanctify our homes and sanctify our lives. What is sanctification? It means to make holy, to consecrate, to separate from the ungodly patterns and practices of the world. Sanctification involves being set apart from sin so as to have intimate companionship with God and serve Him effectively. I want that relationship with God. I want God to be moving in my life. I want Him speaking into my life. In practical terms, sanctification involves an ongoing process of spiritual growth. That's all it is. It's just becoming more of who God wants you to be. Reading God's Word, figuring it out. As Christians, as believers, we need to grow in our faith. If we're not growing in our faith, how are we going to be able to handle these issues when we are faced and we are bombarded with things on a regular basis? If we don't understand and know God's Word, how can we handle them? How are we able to speak and say the things? Or if somebody comes up to you and they say, hey, I've got this situation. If we're not growing in our faith, how can we help someone else build up their faith? If we're not growing in our faith and in our life, how are we not able to build up someone else and speak into their life? James says to get the word planted in you. When you asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you didn't ask Him to just do a part-time job. Amen? We want it to be a full-time job. We want Him working in us. I love verse 22. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You know, you could come to church every week and listen to my wonderful sermons. You could turn on the radio every single week, every single day even, and you can listen to those sermons. You can turn on the television. There's so many preachers out there. There's so many. You can go to YouTube. You can find every preacher in the world. And you can listen to their sermons all day long, being poured into your life. You can do all that. But if all you're doing is just listening and you're not actually doing what it says, at some point you have to stop and listen to the word, and you have to do what it says. You have to listen to what He's telling you, what God's speaking to you. James tells us that we deceive ourselves if we think that being exposed to Bible teaching and Christian ministry is enough to keep us in a right relationship with God. We can be involved in all kinds of church activity and ministry and know a lot about God's Word, but if we do not put that Word into practice, all of our activity and knowledge is meaningless. We have to develop true godly character and a lifestyle that is based upon our companionship with Christ in order to truly please God. I want to please God. Amen. I want God to have ruling over my life. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The obedience to God's will demanded by Christ, it's an ongoing condition for salvation. It does not save us. Now listen to me. It doesn't save us, but it is a response and a result of true salvation. I want to do what the Father wants me to do. Now, how many of you ever look into a mirror every day? We can be honest. I look in a mirror every single day. Now, how many of you don't know what you look like? Do any of us not know what we look like? I think all of us could say, I know what I look like. Because you picked it out, right? When you go get your haircut, what do? Everybody's looking at me. You go to the beautician, and what do? You tell them, I want you to do this. I want you to cut it just right. I want it cut, you know, I want it just, you know, a little bit shorter here. I want it longer in the back. I told my kids, I said, y'all should have seen me in the late 80s, early 90s. I had a mullet. They go, man, mullets are nasty. And I was like, well, it was cool back then, you know. And I can't find any pictures, thank goodness, you know, because that was like the worst year of my haircut, you know. My mom says she has some. But anyway, you look in a mirror, you know what you look like, don't you? We look in a mirror and we see ourselves and we know who we are and we know what we look like. And you see where your reflection, your image, and none of us walk away and none of us forget what we look like because you see your image every single day. And James is telling us that if we look at God's word and examine it daily, that we will not forget what we're looking at. You cannot forget the word of God if you're looking at it on a daily basis. But if we don't look at it and we don't apply that word to our life, then when we walk away from it, we walk away and we don't remember what we read. How many of you have seen a movie more than once? I'll raise my hand. There's some movies I've probably seen a million times. You know, it was movies that I loved when I was a kid, and I've seen them even today. I'll watch them. I've shown them to my kids, different things. And you know what? I could probably quote some of these movies word for word because I've seen them so many times, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Why is that? It's because we've seen it over and over and over again. It's been applied to our life. It's been something that has been just put into our brains. And we know what that is. We know those images. We know those sights. The truth is the same. If we would read the word of God like we watch television or movies, it would be applied to our life. We would understand it. We would have it into our life. But we must put God's word to heart and memorize the scripture that we read. Do me a favor. The next time you read something from God's word, ask yourself this. How can I apply this to my life? Read a scripture today. Read a scripture tomorrow, whenever it is. Then ask yourself, how can I apply this to my life? Can I tell you that you just can't come here on Sundays and expect me to do all your work for you? Do you hear what I'm saying? You have to leave here and you have to do some work yourself. In order for us to grow as believers, in order for us to grow as Christians, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, how can I move to that next level? How can I go to another stage? How can I go to another step? And we need to let Jesus be able to work in our lives and the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to move into our hearts so that we can be who He wants us to be. But find something each day that can apply to your life. We have to get the Word of God in our life more. And as I close this morning, I want you to understand, we won't always want to shout, amen? This hasn't necessarily been a shouting message. I understand that. And there'll be times that we walk out of service and our toes will be a little sore. Anytime I read the book of James, my toes are sore, I promise you. But this week, I believe, is one of those. James, he loved the church. He loved the church that he served. He spoke the truth to them. And sometimes the truth hurts a little, amen? You ever said that to somebody? Well, the truth hurts. I say it all the time. I believe that all of us needs to hear what James is saying to us this morning. He finishes up this passage, verse 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. God is not satisfied with rituals. You hear me? He is interested in a life of practical godliness. And an out-of-control tongue is only one example.